Good morning, everyone. We are live for the Daily Drop-In Morning Show, where the Teach Better team gets to be live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, as we currently stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. It is Wednesday, June 1st. As many of you know, we are celebrating our last week of Daily Drop-In. We've been doing this Monday through Friday all year long, and we are headed into our summer break. So this is a very, very special week to celebrate incredible educators in our network. We so appreciate you tuning in. If you are listening on the Teach Better Talk podcast, we really appreciate you subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and being a part of this community, even if you don't choose to join us live. We know it's bright and early for so many educators, and truly, we just appreciate you being here. We have an incredible guest joining us this morning and some really good conversation. So it's time to go fill up your coffee, and we'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. The comments are blowing up, and you know that means it's going to be a good morning. We have Melanie here with us. Good morning, Melanie. How are you feeling?
I'm good, thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
I'm thrilled to have a conversation with you to bring you further into the Teach Better community. We're seeing in the comments, we have Elijah here, Alex is here, Brianne, lots of comments saying good morning this morning. So I think they're all here to hear from you. I think this is a good sign.
Hope I can say something they appreciate.
Oh no, I'm sure you will. It's been really wonderful bringing in, you know, faces to the Daily Drop-In Morning Show all year long and being able to discuss different stories and bringing in different expertise. So I'm thrilled and so appreciative that you joined us bright and early this morning. Melanie, for people in our community who may not be familiar with you and the incredible work you do, would you mind sharing a little about yourself?
Of course. So I'm coming from Connecticut, so it's a little later for me than it might be for some of you. And I'm the writing coordinator in a district here in Connecticut. I've been doing that for about 10 years and also been blogging for about that long. And I was lucky enough when I started blogging to be asked to be a reviewer for Corwin, which led to eventually my editor saying to me, when are you going to write a book? Because I was reviewing everybody else's. So yeah. I just published my third book about teaching writing, with really all of them being a focus on elementary instruction. But the more that I've gotten feedback, the more people have said, we're using them at high school too, like all of. So that's been nice. It's, I feel like a lot of the material in there is K-12. And then I blog at Two Writing Teachers. So big shout out for Two Writing Teachers. If people don't follow that, we just added a few new co-authors, and I am lucky because I get to talk and work with brilliant people about teaching writing all the time. And then I get to practice on four daughters that I have my oldest turns 26 on Friday and my youngest turned 20. So I'm out of the teens.
Wow, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yep.
I am always hunting for different education blogs to find new resources, new writers, new authors. So I'm thrilled that you highlighted those resources, because I know our team and as well as everyone in our community is constantly looking for those great blogs that have content to support educators.
Yeah, so Two Writing Teachers, it's a good one. So
awesome. Well, yeah. We'll definitely add it to our list. I know the team always loves to share out blogs from different resources, so we'll have to add that one. Brianne, in the comments, make sure to write that one down.
Yeah, and shout out to you. I think there's so many people who are doing so much for educators, and even more in the last couple of years. There's just been such a flurry of resources out there and people doing work and sharing it. And that has been really nice. So thank you for all you do.
No, Melanie, I so appreciate it. You know, I wish it would, you know, I wish I could say that I was able to juggle all this myself. You know, the Teach Better team has grown, and not only our internal team, but our community is really the people that make this happen. All of you listening, or even if whether you're live with us right now or listening after the fact, you are all the way that we get to continue the work that we're doing in education. I mean, whether you are a part of, you know, one of the 200 guest bloggers we have at teachbetter.com, or even just in the comments, I'm seeing friends here that are presenting at the Teach Better Conference in October, or, you know, have been guests on the Daily Drop-In or other podcasts, a part of our podcast network. I mean, you know, the content that we're able to push out is really in support of so many different educators. So fun. I so appreciate it.
Yeah.
So Melanie, I know that you are passionate about writing. I'm sorry, I'm going to sneeze. Where did that passion come from?
Great question. I've always been a writer, and I have, one of the things that I did in the first chapter of my most recent book is talk about the importance of writing timelines. So I have been creating a lot of writing timelines of my own and kind of exploring the droughts and the flurries of writing in my own life. Right? Because we all go through times when I say that I've gone through periods of my life where I haven't been a writer, and periods of my life where writing's been like all I've done. I've woken up and been like, I got all these thoughts, I've got to get them down. But I started my career at a school for kids who had been taken from their homes for mostly emotional reasons. And my co-teacher and I caught on quickly to the therapeutic value of writing. And then from there, we sort of stumbled upon a writing workshop that was at Amherst College. And we're like, we should do that. Let's go see that. Let's see if we can pay for that. We got a grant. We went. And it was right when Teachers College was starting writing workshops. And we got to go and be at a week of Jackie Getz and Katie Woods Ray, who have kind of become big leaders in the field of teaching writing when they were just starting out. And we wrote for a week, and it was a beautiful, amazing experience. And we brought that back and shared that with the kids and got them all writer's notebooks, and it exploded. So that was that, you know. And then I started writing stories when sad things happened, because I would write the stories that I wish would happen in the future. The opportunity in the district opened up to take this position being the elementary writing coordinator. And I was like, I could do that. Sounds like something I might want to do. So, you know, one thing just kept leading to another. I ended up getting my master's in creative writing. Shout out to the Solstice program, which has moved to LaSalle College in Boston. It's a residential program where you go 2 times a year and live there and take classes and do it 5 times and write throughout the year. So someday I want to publish my fiction work, but my nonfiction has sort of taken over that part of my life.
I do have to say, Melanie, I think that there's so many different pieces you highlighted that I want to eventually get through in our conversation here, not only writing strategies for educators in our community that are listening in saying, ooh, how can I, you know, bring writing into the craft more successfully with students. I love the connection between the therapeutic element of writing. So we definitely have to dive into that. I really appreciate your background in writing yourself, being a writer. We have a lot of members in our community who have either, you know, already achieved goals or have future aspirations and hopefully writing, you know, a book themselves, whether it be fiction or nonfiction. And then this connection between what opportunities are out there that have helped us be successful. And I know a lot of educators have been considering changing roles. So, you know, the opportunity to apply for a new role in a district that you love working in and kind of taking on a new lens of supporting students. So we need to get into all that in our conversation. I'm not sure if there's one area of those three that, you know, is most exciting for you to talk about right now, but I'd love to dive into that a little before we get into our moment of gratitude.
Yeah. So I want to highlight the importance of teachers writing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as you were talking and saying that, you talked about a lot of audience members being, you know, aspiring writers, it's so much harder for people to say I'm a writer than I'm a reader.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all do writing that we don't even count as writing, or, you know, whether it's, you know, sitting here making lists, whether it's jotting down notes, whether it's journaling, whether it's writing a letter to somebody. It doesn't have to, you don't have to publish a book to be a writer, and you don't have to get your master's in writing to be a writer, and you don't have to write a blog to be a writer. I think that what happens when teachers write, and they, when they write the work that they're asking kids to do, or when they just write themselves, they develop all kinds of understandings about the process. So, you know, I love to say, spy on yourself when you're doing that work. What is the work that your brain is having to do in order to get this down? Where do you get stuck? Where do you get inspired? What do you need around you? Do you need coffee? Do you need silence? Are you better in the morning? Are you better in the afternoon? Is it crazy in your head and you can't get out the ideas because you can't write fast enough to get them out, and that gets frustrating? You know, can you not decide on your idea because there are too many and that gets in your way? So, yeah, so Facebook user who just said you don't have to publish a book to be a writer, like, huge statement. You can be a writer without having anybody even read it. Some writing is private and personal, and you have it for yourself. So, you know, yes, there are these three genres of writing that we think about, and it's, and I talk about, and I describe, like, you've got that narrative, information, opinion thing, and you've got the importance of an audience and getting it out there. But you also have the green belt writing of just sitting and getting the pen going or the fingers moving, and either counts, and figuring out some thoughts and ideas. And that has huge value. So be, you know, a writer.
Yeah, it's really interesting as I'm reflecting on, you know, and as a Teach Better team, we're constantly thinking about what our audience needs, right? What are they telling us they value? What are they focused on right now? What's going on in the world of education? And even you can just see it in the comments, you know, some educators are in this summer mode of thinking, you know, school's out, I get to enter into my summer break. Some educators are thinking, all right, I still have 4 weeks left and I really want to utilize these 4 weeks in the best way possible. I think your passion and willingness to discuss writing here on the show this morning actually applies to both camps, right? If you are an educator entering into summer break, then we can start discussing writing in your personal life to make you, you know, a whole educator, whether you are in the classroom physically for the next few months or not. And also this connection between the use of writing with students to engage with them and provide so many different opportunities, both of which count as writing. And I love the comment about people not needing to read it to still consider yourself a writer. That's a powerful statement. There are a lot of good things to dive into here, Melanie.
I'm trying.
So good.
So I will also just throw out an invitation at Two Writing Teachers Again. We host a Tuesday slice of life throughout the year. And if anybody's looking for a summer thing to commit to, that's kind of a life commitment, come on Tuesdays and share a slice of life. They're short, they're quick. And, you know, it, again, in contradiction to not anybody has to read your writing to be a writer, it is a community. And we do read each other's writing and leave comments. And that has been an amazing thing to watch relationships develop through.
Yeah, no, tell me more about that. So if I'm listening this morning, I'm thinking, ooh, Tuesdays over the summer, you know, all the activities I planned over the summer, I got some time on Tuesday. I'm interested. What can I expect if I choose to participate in that?
Yeah. So again, I keep shouting out Two Writing Teachers, but every Tuesday, we have what we call a call for slices. And bloggers really from around the world come and they leave a link on that to their own blog. So you do have to have a blog. You got to take that plunge and say, okay, I'm going to start a blog. So whether it's on WordPress or Blogger or whatever platform you choose to use, you do have to start a blog. It's less complicated than you might think it is. If you Google how to start a blog, you can do it. Ray, you look like you want to jump in there.
I do have a question. When you say I need to have a blog, does this mean that if I've published a blog with like a different outside source, I can use that? Or I need a blog that's like specific to me? Because a lot of our community, publishes blogs with, for example, like teachbetter.com. There's a ton of them that have blogs daily. But if I've published blogs there, does that count?
If you have a blog that you can use, that works.
Perfect. So it sounds like any kind of like any
Any old blog
writer.
will do.
Yes, I love that. That's good. So every single person in the comments, as I'm looking through, who's at least being an active learner this morning, y'all can do this. I just want to confirm.
Y'all can do this.
Yes.
Sometimes that's the thing that really gets in people's way. But you also don't have to come every Tuesday. We'll still be like, it's good to see you. So yeah, you can do that. But we write a little daily slice. Like yesterday I wrote about having a really long day and showing up at the BY at a restaurant that I didn't know was BYOB and being like, there's no beer on the menu. And having this unbelievably lovely little waitress go back into the cooler and find me a half a glass of Chardonnay that someone had left behind.
I love it. Okay, but
Right?
those are, isn't that funny that sometimes blogs are so, like rigid and aligned, and sometimes other blogs have really like funny stories within them, but there's still something that a reader can get out of them, right?
Yeah, and but that's what the slice of life is. It's taking a little sliver of the day and reliving it, and you're writing and sharing it out, and maybe practicing some of the skills that you're working on with kids, maybe practicing some skills of remembering things that you're working on for yourself. Who knows? But that's what that is. And so you link up your slice, whatever that might be that you've written on your blog, and mine are typically less than a page. They're quick little, bursts of my life.
Yeah.
And then what's really kind of organic and nice is that people read them and they leave you comments. And over the years, I've been doing this for 11 years. Throughout the month of March, here's the big one. We do this every day. So we have the month of March slicing challenge, and everybody meets up every day and slices every day in March. So like the reunion throughout the year of Tuesdays. But you develop real relationships and you watch people develop. And there are people in the slicing world who literally know my kids because they've watched them grow up over 11 years of little pictures and snippets of their life. And my daughter, who's 26, has been doing it with us for 10 years. So she has 10 years of blogging throughout the month of March. So it's a really nice way to practice writing, have that discipline, and develop a community. And I think if people join in and sort of announce themselves and introduce themselves, you'd be amazed at the relationships that you have when you start doing it over time.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that you brought up this concept. I think this is really going to resonate with a number of different members in our community who are looking for that outlet, looking for that safe space to collaborate and discuss. And also, I love the accountability element. Like, I know that if something comes up and you miss, it's not the end of the world, but it's focused time where you're setting a boundary and saying, I'm being intentional in this moment for myself. And we discuss that a lot, in our daily drop-in family, but also our Teach Better family of how can we purposefully incorporate things into our life that not only give us the refuel to continue forward with the mindset that we want to carry, but also the opportunity to be better in a number of different spaces. So, Melanie, this was so spot on. I'm excited to see how our Teach Better community gets involved in that.
Yeah, I can let me know if you get involved. Give me a Twitter shout out or say in the comments when you post,
Yeah.
joining in. Haven't done this before. We are not exclusive. So, Come on in. There's nobody who's going to be like, ooh, a new person. That's more excitement. Like, who? A new person. Look at that.
It's always good to have new people. We always love to see new faces. Such a celebration. You know, Melanie, we have a lot we want to get into this morning, but really quickly, every single morning, we like to document a moment of gratitude in an app called Happy Feed. We've been doing this since around March or February when we had a guest on that used this app. It's a free app. And it allows us to not only document moments of gratitude, but then revisit those moments to kind of continue to celebrate all the great things and those incredible memories. I would love to kind of have you, before we transition here into our good news topic, share something that you are grateful for. I can even think of things in our conversation that we could be grateful for, but anything that comes to mind?
You know, I'm sitting here at my desk and I've got a window of gray in front of me. And some days the gray makes me unhappy. And today I'm looking at all of the pots and the flowers and the things I've planted. I'm like, come on, rain. So I'm grateful for the rain forecast in the afternoon, because it means that when I come home, I might not have to water.
Ooh, I love that. See, taking something that is sometimes perceived as a negative and celebrating it. I love that opportunity. Friends, we'll be right back with our good news stories, some incredible holidays, and we're going to continue this conversation. Good morning, friends. It is Wednesday, June 1st, and I'm telling you, if you are just popping in now, you have missed some good discussion. So stay here with us. Continue being a part of our good morning family, but also then you're going to want to go back and learn from our last 20 minutes of discussion. Melanie, you had so many just fun opportunities, invitations, and some great perspective on how we can continue to be better in not only the space of writing, working with students, but also our own lives as well. There's been a lot of mic drop moments so far. So if you missed it, welcome to the show. You're gonna have to go back. Melanie, we have this segment where we highlight good news stories and some goofy holidays. And sometimes these holidays and good news stories are good to bring into our personal lives. And sometimes they're beneficial to also bring into our students' lives. I'm gonna tell you that today is not a good day if you're looking to create a holiday, because there are about 67 holidays today, and I don't know how in the world we'd be able to highlight all of them. So I think we should just pick a few and kind of see how we can celebrate them together. Does that sound good?
Sure, let's go.
All right, first and foremost, today is Global Parents Day. So, I mean, celebrating all the parents out there. Melanie, you've mentioned your daughters. I think this is a great day to celebrate you.
Thanks.
It's also
every day needs to be Parents Day these
seriously
days.
Though, for real.
Going on.
It's also Global Running Day, National Olive Oil Day, Dinosaur Day, Flip a Coin Day. I'm not sure what we're flipping coins for. Maybe to make a decision, we should do a coin flip this morning. If you're on summer break, you might be celebrating this. It's National Go Barefoot Day. And it's also National Hazelnut Cake Day. Are you a hazelnut cake fan, Melanie?
I am not a hazelnut fan. I don't like hazelnut in many things, especially not my coffee. Sorry, everybody.
That's all right. You know what? We'll have somebody else celebrate that holiday. You don't need to celebrate.
I'll leave that for someone else. Someone else can have dinosaur day so far. Someone else can have hazelnut day. I'll take the olive oil day.
Ooh,
I like that. Yeah.
I love olive oil. I actually just came back from a very long vacation. And one of the things that I did during vacation is we had a lot of olive oil tasting. So I love olive oil. That's a good thing to incorporate in your day.
Yeah, I love a good olive oil tasting and vinegar.
Yeah, something kind of interesting. I mean, why not? It's National Heimlich Maneuver Day. So I think that could be a good little education.
Brush up on your skills. Yep.
Yeah, refresh your skills. National Nail Polish Day. Say Something Nice Day. And this one I thought was interesting because I didn't realize. So it's June 1st right now. Today is New Year Resolution Commitment Day. So it's about reflecting on the New Year's resolution you may have set for yourself in January and thinking about how you're doing with that and if you need to kind of refresh that goal that you have. Did you have any goals that you set for yourself in January?
I did. So it's not a goal though. So every year I choose a word to live by. You don't know one little word thing. Okay, so one little word. I can't remember who started this motion, but it's a hashtag OLW. If you go looking on Twitter, you can find OLW, so you can find all kinds of words. And I've been doing it for so long that I'm a little bit like, all right, I've got present, I've got joy, I've got moment, I've got brave. Like there's been some that I've lived by and some that I've really liked. I could explain to you like what impresses me with a word. Last year was wow. 2020 was wow, and that was really perfect for 2020.
It was perfect.
Like wow. This year, though, I took on a word to get rid of in my language. So this year, my word has been just, and I'm not using the word just unless it's really necessary. So I'm not calling just to say hi. I'm calling to say hi. And it's really powerful when you start playing with that. So that's been my that's how I live my New Year's resolutions. I live with or without, in this case, words.
I love this new spin on something that at least I know comes up in my world every single year. Everyone chooses their word. A shout out to Brad Hughes, who I know chose better this year. I mean, it's such a fun opportunity. I have a word that I continue to lean into as well, but I love the reflection of also finding a word that you are going to choose to not incorporate in your life anymore. That is such an interesting challenge. Gosh, if you are somebody who's doing a refresh on your New Year's resolution, maybe this is the challenge you give to yourself on June 1. What is that word that you might choose to not incorporate in your life anymore? I love this perspective, Melanie. That's a cool challenge for the morning.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's hard to not use the word just. I catch myself a lot. I'm like, I'm not just running to the store. Like, I'm running to the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's a great little challenge for this morning. If you are taking on a challenge like that, please feel free to share it in the comments. Or even if you are still living with your word that you chose in January, if you're willing to share it this morning, we'd love to hear what word you chose in January or early in the year and how that's going for you. I
Yeah, choose one now. Live with one for 6 months.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not, right? There's no time like the present.
No time like the present. Present was a great word because it has different meanings. Like
Yeah, I
it
love
was the it was the year I got better at giving gifts, right? Like present. So
it.
like
Yeah.
all these different nuances of present anyway.
So good. I know we have somebody in the comments saying surrender was their word. That's an interesting one.
Oh. Maybe it's a yogi, like lie back. Oh, Shavasana, I'm in.
There you go. Alex is commenting he wants to know about olive oil, what we're referring to. Olive oil, like the ingredient, Alex. That's what I meant. Because I was in Tuscany. So there was a lot of olive oil and instead of butter was what they were cooking.
They put little fla they put flavors in them. You can get all different flavored olive oil. It's a special treat.
I love it. So good. Also, one more day that we want to highlight, it is World Reef Awareness Day. You guys know I'm a sucker for the ocean. So just a little special highlight to our incredible reefs and making sure that you are a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. So that's what we'll go there. For our quick good news story, I just wanted to highlight someone's birthday today, which I think is really interesting. As we talk about with these good news stories, sometimes they're incredible things that happen in the world. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're teeny tiny to just make you smile. Something that I thought would be interesting to bring into the classroom today was that it is Morgan Freeman's birthday today. And I think that that would be a very interesting discussion with students because he has a very famous voice. And we've been talking about writing, I know, but the power of tone and voice, I think, could be a really interesting discussion. I didn't realize we'd be talking so much about writing, but our good news story is happy birthday to Morgan Freeman, who turns 85 today. So very special birthday.
I was gonna ask how old he was. I feel like he's such an icon. Yeah.
I know. I feel like any age that he turned, I would have been like, yeah, that makes
That
sense. Like
makes sense. Yeah.
he really could have turned like anywhere from 51 to 102, and I'd be like, that makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yep, that would be how old he is. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Friends, we're going to
Yeah.
transition here into our brainstorm bank and continue to pick Melanie's mind on writing and all the other things that she's passionate about. So we'll be right back. Good morning, friends. Welcome back to the Daily Drop-In Morning Show. It is Wednesday, June 1st, and we are headed to our Brainstorm Bank. As many of you know, even though we're celebrating our last week here on the show before our summer break, we have a Brainstorm Bank time every single show to really pause and ask any of you, hey, friends, do you need anything? This is a great time to not only discuss things that our guest is very passionate about, but also time to answer your questions. So if you are choosing to be an active learner today versus just a consumer of the show, please feel free to comment in the comments and let us know if you have anything that you want us to further dive into and be a brainstorm partner with you. As many of you also know, our theme this week is being your best self, which I can tell you, we have already been able to highlight so much on this show. Melanie, you have been able to share so much insight and perspective on not only writing being incorporated with our students, but writing being a part of our personal life as well. I know you've also published some incredible books. Would you mind if we started with kind of your experience writing a book? I know you said that to be a writer, you can write anything and nobody even has to read it. But sometimes we have goals that we set for ourselves, right or wrong. And I know writing a book is one that our community has set numerous times. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I have three really different experiences writing a book, I think. And maybe that's the, you didn't give me that question ahead of time to really think about. So I'm drafting here.
Like, you're good.
I'm good with drafting. That every book and every writing project is different, and that there's always a different writing process that I go through. Like, I talk about the writing process and the idea of coming up with ideas and planning and then drafting and revising and editing, whatever, like, you know, it's sort of recursive and you go back and forth. But one of the things that, I spent a lot of time processing writing my second book was that different people spend different amounts of time in different parts of the process. And, you know, it might be that I'm somebody who spends a lot of time in the planning stage and that's okay, or spend a lot of time in the revising stage and that's okay. My second book I wrote with somebody else, and she was a planner and I'm a drafter. So that was, we had to work our way through that. It was tense sometimes because I'd want to plunge ahead and she'd be like, wait, we haven't planned that. I'm like, but I need to get it down.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. But then what I realized is that in my first book, I wrote the whole thing and literally went, phooey, I don't like the whole thing. And I rewrote the whole thing. And I would like to believe it came out better, but, you know, maybe it was better the first time. I don't know. But I guess my point is that there are different ways to do writing and different experiences at different, I don't want to say books because it's not just books, it's any piece. So different processes and different priorities and different emphases that different pieces offer up. My first book was a hot mess, right? It all came together after I wrote the whole thing. I wrote the whole thing and then reorganized the whole thing and then rewrote the whole thing. The second book, I was sort of, I was held back by a partner who was like, oh, we have to plan. And in hindsight, she and I would both tell you that we brought out great things in each other because I loosened her up and she tightened me up, and it was a good thing for both of us. My third book is part of a series, and so that followed a structure. The plan was almost given to me of here are the chapters and let's think about the questions and we'll come up with the questions and then you'll write the answers. So it was like I wrote into a plan that was predetermined. So they were three really different experiences. And I would say that has pushed me as a writer to write within those confounds.
I really value you highlighting those three different experiences because I do believe more often than not, there's a misconception that as you get writing, whether it be a blog or anything else, I know specifically today in this moment, we're talking about books, but You kind of think it goes the same way, right? You're supposed to write a few chapters, pitch it to a publisher, write the whole book. You get an editing team, they give you the cover, and then it's out into the world and you celebrate that you wrote a book. And there's so many more pieces to that. I think the best parts of writing a book, at least for me, were the parts of going through the drafting phase. When you said that that was the phase you spend the most time on, that's absolutely what I lean on as the time that takes the most of my you know, focus and energy. And I know you were highlighting in your second book that you had a co-author. I think that sometimes we forget that writing with others is actually a wonderful opportunity we have. But then again, I don't know that I see many blogs being co-written together, or, you know, books on occasion you see, but it's not always what we turn to as our first avenue. So I loved both of my books or with all other authors. And I loved that opportunity to be able to collaborate with somebody else and see somebody else's way of working. It's very interesting.
Right. Well, I'm writing sometimes is such an internal process. You're creating an external product, but it's an internal process. Yeah. And I mean, I also feel like I'm my most introverted self when I'm writing. Like, and here's something, and you might appreciate this, right? Like when I'm in the drafting phase, usually I'm distracted from the rest of my life. Like that's the time when I really sort of screw things up, and I'll be like, oh wait, did I add the salt to the batter? I can't remember. Because my brain's drafting. Like somebody once said, well, how many hours a day do you spend writing? And during that time, all of them. Like, yes, I'm in the shower, I'm drafting, right? I'm cooking dinner, I'm drafting. I'm watering the plants, I'm drafting. So that's like an intense time. But I say to my family, if I'm at the computer and you walk by me or you come in or you whatever, and I don't look up, don't talk to me, because I'm in a space that I need to stay in. I'm like, think about a scuba diver being way underwater and the oxygen tank and getting down to where the ears are okay and everything's been okay. Like you talk about reefs, right? Like I'm in that space of having acclimated to my writing space. I'm not in your space. And if you talk to me, it's the equivalent of taking me up to the surface of the water and I have to get all the way back down again. And it messes with me. So don't talk to me unless you have to, if I don't look up.
I love this analogy because that is so spot on. I know so many of us listening will be able to relate to that, of being in the weeds of a project and then somebody walks in and completely wants your full attention. And you're like, there's no way I can go back to where I was.
Right. And it takes so much energy. Like you only get there like once a day.
Yeah.
Like, and it's with the right amount of coffee and the right amount of brain energy and the right quiet. And if you get pulled up, you're like,
oh, so funny.
Yeah. So
I know there's so many different things I would have picked your brain on. And unfortunately, as I'm looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my gosh, Melanie, we could talk for like 4 more hours and still not cover everything I would love to discuss with you. But if you had one idea or one call to action that you would really love our community to consider or take away or reflect on for your time here on The Daily Drop-In, is there anything you can leave our network with that can kind of get them not only for today, but really thinking about the topics you're most passionate about?
Just one.
I know.
I talked about being a writer. Like that's a big one. Like celebrate your writing self. So celebrate it and learn from yourself about writing. So you can learn a lot about writing by thinking of, by doing it and thinking about what works and what doesn't for you and talking about that. So, you know, just as you might talk about books, find people to talk about writing with and be like, okay, like I don't have to share that piece. Although I will tell you that once you start sharing your pieces, you get more comfortable with it. It's kind of like talking on these podcasts or doing public speaking. Like truth, almost nobody's comfortable doing this right out of the gate.
No.
Like, you know, there are things that we get better at because we practice them. Mm-hmm. And I think sharing writing is one of those things. So that's a thing. Be a writer and figure out a way to start identifying yourself as a writer. So whether it's developing your community or coming on board on Tuesdays or having a little group that you talk writing with, you can do that. And then if you are a teacher who's working with kids, celebrate the kids' writing identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are the kids doing well? Like, be on the lookout for what they're doing well. Like, not the spelling, not the sentences. Like, I know that kids aren't spelling right. I know there are run-on sentences. I get that it's a mess and you, like, are struggling with reading it. But what are they doing as a writer that's good? Like, you know, what story did they tell? What did they reveal? Like, what did you learn from them? What can you learn from kids by reading their writing, either about them or about what they're doing? Like, take on different lenses and push yourself to take different lenses when you look at kids and their writing. That would be a big shout out takeaway.
So many good takeaways within that. And Melanie, I should tell you, I know it's summer break, but you are re-inspiring me to teach writing. I loved teaching writing with middle schoolers. And so this is just bringing out the elements of being a part of that style of classroom that I just get so much joy out of. So I so appreciate you bringing that to the forefront this morning. And I want to get into one last thing with you, if you don't mind, if you have the time. I'd love to get into some recommendations for our network if they're looking to continue to learn more. I know we've highlighted a lot already on the show. And then also make sure that our network connects with you, because this should not be their one and only opportunity to learn from you. But we really want to incorporate all of our friends and family into our PLN to continue to be a better educator. So we'll be right back for those recommendations. All right, guys, it is Wednesday, so we have recommendations we love. This is our last time doing this until summer break. It kind of kills my heart, but we are going to get into some recommendations that we love. Melanie, we've been able to highlight so many different resources. To name a few, we talked about an incredible blog site that they can go check out. We talked about the Tuesday opportunity to join a very light, you know, commitment to join a community of writers that are sharing their work and working together to be better, which, gosh, I am such a fan of. I can't wait to see what members of our community choose to take advantage of that incredible Tuesday night opportunity. And then we've been able to highlight lots of books. I know you've personally written three different books that I want to encourage our network to go check out. But other things that have inspired us, if you had to identify a resource, whether it be a writing piece, a podcast, or anything in between, that helped you continue to be better, maybe in a writing space or some other area of your life, do you have something that you can highlight in this section for us?
You know, if I start listing too many people, I'll leave somebody out, and I struggle with that. But I will say that put yourself out there in the social world. I think for me, Twitter was a game changer. It connected me to people who live really far away in intimate ways. And that seemed like such an oxymoron that I could have close relationships with people who I hadn't even seen them. I didn't know what they looked like except for the profile picture that they chose to put up. The pandemic has led to a lot of Zooming, and now I'm like, okay, so now I know what you look like and I know how you speak and I know what your background looks like. I know what your house and your dog looks like. But I will say, connect with people and put yourself out and connect with people who are like-minded. I have five people who have become really my touch people, three of whom I haven't met in person. But we talk and we connect and we Zoom, and you know, two of whom have come and stayed at my house and been my instant friends. So And I'm not a person who doesn't have relationships in real life. I have friends in real life, and I have, kids and parents and a mom and a husband and like all of these real life people. But there are professional connections and real life connections that you can make. And I think that when we think about what has been okay about the last couple of years of isolation and loneliness, it's been there have been ways to connect that we, at least for me, I didn't know about or tap into. So tap into that and you might be surprised.
Endless resources with those connections. I really have been able to see the impact of that virtual community that eventually becomes a real life in person, physically, community. But here on the Teach Better team, I know that we've had a lot of reflective conversations, both internally and externally, with this crew to say, holy moly, can you believe that? Some of us have met before, some of us have never met, but the power of those connections, there's so many ways to foster relationships these days, and there's a lot to celebrate there. So even just connecting with you, Melanie, it's amazing what technology has allowed us to do, and to lean into that for those incredible resources is such a blessing. I would love to make sure that our network connects with you, whether it be on Twitter, I know your website, and kind of everywhere in between. So if we have somebody listening to this morning's conversation, would you mind sharing with us how they can stay connected?
I have a website. It's melaniemeehan.com. So if you go to my website, you can find all of the other places.
Perfect.
And then, two writing teachers. I'm a co-author, so you can reach out to me there. And I'd like to say that I'm good with Instagram. I'm not yet. I'm working on that. Better at Twitter. So at melaniemeehan1 will find me on Twitter, and love to connect, love to respond. So give me a follow and I'll give you a follow back if you have something that you want to talk about. Happy to do that. So any of those ways, I'd love to connect.
Yes. And let us know if you are joining that Tuesday night crew. I want to hear about it. So, Melanie, I really appreciate you joining us bright and early this morning, taking the time to share all these resources, all these tidbits. It's just been such a wonderful way to celebrate our last Wednesday together before we head into our summer break for Daily Drop and Morning Show. So, I so appreciate
Yay,
you.
summer.
Yeah, it'll be
All
great.
right. Back at you, Ray. Thank you for all you're doing for the community, too.
So good. For everyone here, we are wishing you a wonderful June 1st. Happy June officially. If you need anything, or if you're having any struggle connecting with Melanie, please reach out to anyone in the Teach Better community. We'd love to support you and help you. Of course, direct message me, and I would love to connect you with her as well. We will see you bright and early again tomorrow for Daily Drop-In, but don't forget, it's Wednesday, so we also have Brain Break later this afternoon, and that will be the last Brain Break of summer as well. So we all need to be there, show up, and enjoy the shenanigans that happen on Brain Break later this afternoon. We have a full week still ahead of fun Teach Better live stream, so make sure to stick with us. We hope you have a wonderful day, friends. See you later.